The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Sielski, Glenn Macnow, 94 WIP. What do you think? Jalen Hurts comes back tomorrow. Are all the problems solved? What is your level of concern moving forward? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling as confident as you were a couple weeks ago? Is it all going to come back? I'm a little nervous. I think they have played. They've hit certainly a speed bump or a pothole. I'm not sure. Is it a speed bump or a pothole they've hit?
I think it's more than a pothole.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ditch?
I mean, yeah, I think they need, they're waiting for AAA to come with, you know, some help.
All right. So how worried are you? That's what we want to know. All right. I'm worried about one thing and one thing only, and that is the fact that there's a very good chance I owe you, producer Kyle Quinn and producer Dan Wilson.
That's Buzz to you.
Yeah, still don't understand how his name changed to Buzz all of a sudden, but there you go. Dinner. Probably at Ralph's Restaurant, which is always a fun place to take people for dinner, because we had a stupid football bet, which has certainly been dynamic this year. At one point, you were up 6-1, and I was ready to concede. I think I offered to buy you a cheap dinner. Like,
hey, oh, yeah.
I'll take you to McDonald's for lunch if we can just call this
thing. It was going to be Chick-fil-A after this show,
Yeah, but no, you didn't do it. And I came back from down 6-1 to tie it up. The parameters of the bet are kind of simple, which is I get a point every time the Eagles return a kickoff beyond the 40-yard line or any punt return that goes for more than 20 yards.
Correct.
They suddenly found the magic in this a few weeks ago.
I insist. I think that you contacted Michael Clay and Howie Roseman and that you stacked the deck against me once I got off to that start, and they turned their special teams around just so you wouldn't have to pay for
it. Well, they put Boston Scott in all of a sudden, and then Boston Scott was really good. You get a point for every muffed or fumbled punt, which we had a few of early in the
year. Yes, not so many lately.
And a point for any kickoff return that does not get back to the 20-yard line.
Correct.
That's it. It's pretty basic. I'm betting on the Eagles to return well. You're betting for them to not. As I said, I was down 6-1. It got back to 6-6. 2 weeks to go in the season. Momentum on my side.
I was staggering. I was wobbled.
And then, first kickoff of the third quarter last Sunday, here's what happened.
Here's Will Lutz to kick off. And it's high, and this is not deep. Boston Scott comes up and captures it at the 3. Out to the 5, the 10, 15. There's a penalty flag, and don't tell me this is coming back. He only got up to the 18. Tell me it's going to come back to the 9.
Really good coverage by the Saints.
Receiving team, number 58. Half the distance to the goal. Philadelphia keeps the ball. First down.
It's on Kyron Johnson. So half the distance.
You didn't even need the penalty. You won before the penalty.
Just insult to injury for you, Glenn. I was like Rocky in Rocky II. I wasn't going to switch and go back to Southpaw. You stick with what got you there, and I'm throwing haymakers at Apollo Creed right now.
Yeah, so a stupid football bet that actually got pretty interesting. Does remain interesting. Tomorrow is the last game. I'm going to be watching a lot of things. Jalen Hurts' performance. Maybe more than that, the return.
I'm going to be writing
on
deadline. I'm going to be writing on deadline, Glenn. I have to file a column the instant that game ends tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to be able to concentrate on what I'm writing.
Yeah.
Because I will be so nervous and worked up about it.
Yeah. Well, the good news is Nick may be pulling some first stringers as the game goes on, but he's not going to be doing it with special teams.
So what happens? Like, suppose Boston Scott returns a kickoff for a touchdown. Suppose
double points.
Britton Covey breaks one for 45 yards.
Yeah.
You know.
What happens? You owe dinner.
Yeah. No, I know I owe dinner. It's just it would be a sight to see one person jumping up and down in the press box.
Yes. That actually happened. As you know, and I think most listeners know, you're not allowed to cheer in the press box.
Oh, not at all, no.
You are not allowed to wear colors in the press box. A friend of ours one time, when his hometown team was playing one of our teams in a postseason game, I'm really trying to be as unrevealing as I can, came wearing a baseball cap of that team because it was his hometown team. and was told, you have to take this off in the press box. Right. You can't do it. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
But there was one time Ray and I had the stupid football bet, and it was on, what's his name, the Aussie punter, the first Aussie punter.
Oh, Savraca?
Yeah, Savraca. And it was, oh, God, it was such a stupid bet. It was how many how many punts, I think, of 60 yards or more Savraca would have that season. Because I'm thinking he's Ray Guy, and
right.
He wasn't.
No.
And
he was a guy. He was not Ray Guy.
He wasn't the guy either. That's right. And so we're in the press box, and Ray's like six seats down from me, and Rocca boots one, and it goes, and it rolls, and it rolls. And it's like I start to get up, and Jeff Ash, who's the press box, says, that punt by Sav Rocca, 59 and a half yards. Yeah. Anyway,
and at that point, Glenn slumped back down into his chair, a beaten man.
I lost that bet, but there you go. All right, there's a big question I want to discuss about tomorrow and the Eagles moving forward this season, and I believe it's something that you and I share an opinion on. Yesterday, or earlier this week, the Eagles coaches kind of hinted. Well, you were around, so I'll pose it to you as a question because I think I got this right. That they're going to try to be a little more careful with Jalen Hurts? Is that what's going on?
They are saying that they are. Shane Steichen basically admitted as much. Jeff McClain asked him, are you going to have to adjust the play calling at all to accommodate the fact that Hurts isn't at 100%? And Steichen said, well, if he plays, yes. And this is the part that I think you and I agree on, there is no indication from this entire season that they will do that, or that they can or should do that, because Hurts is the alpha and omega of this offense. And so if you take away something that he brings to the table, you're hampering the entire flow of the offensive unit. So I would be surprised if they dialed back tomorrow against the Giants.
Absolutely. I mean, they may a little bit tomorrow against the Giants because it's the Giants' second stringers and you ought to be winning the game, and he is just back. However, moving forward into the playoffs,
you can't dial it back.
No. Here's one of the ugly realities of pro football. And I know this is going to sound particularly crass in terms of what happened with DeMar Hamlin, and I really don't want these two things to connect because one is a life-threatening heart attack that the guy had on the field, as rare as that is, and the other is basically the player's limbs.
Right.
The players are the equipment in pro football.
Yes.
And that is not to belittle the relationship between the players and the coaches who love their players and certainly hope their players stay healthy. But the bottom line impetus in pro football is to win.
Yep.
And with the Eagles, it's to win now. We went into this season... Well, I went into this season thing like, you know what? They're going to be really competitive and they're going to make the playoffs and they got a shot, but they're really built for the long run. Mm-hmm. They're not built for the long run.
No.
They're built for now. They have so many good players on one-year contracts or the final years of contracts or kind of moving to a later stage of their career. Brandon Graham's having a great year.
Yeah.
I'm not betting on Brandon Graham's future.
No.
That... For most of this year, and maybe even still now, they're the best team in the league. You got to win now. And winning now means you got to do whatever it takes to win now. And that means using Jalen Hurts recklessly.
We're used to thinking of young star athletes in every sport, including the NFL, and particularly a quarterback, as guys who are going to be around for a while. And therefore, if it doesn't work out this year with Bryce Harper, it's okay. He's going to be here 13 years. The problem with that thinking in the NFL with respect to the quarterback position is that these guys don't make very much money when they're starting out in the league, and it's a salary cap league. So the fact that they don't make a lot of money allows a general manager like Howie Roseman to acquire a whole bunch more talent to put around him. So you get a situation like the Eagles have this season with Jalen Hurts, who's playing great, and counting less than $2 million against the cap, you got to strike now. Because eventually, one would think, you may have to pay him $30, $40, $5 million a year. And it becomes harder to build a great team around him. You got a great team right now. You take advantage of it. You wring every drop you can out of this kid. And if he's hurt, This is the NFL. You play when you're hurt.
And it sounds really crass.
It does. It sounds terrible, but it's the truth.
But it really is true. You and I looked at this like a month ago, and I wish I had saved the numbers, but we looked at the quarterbacks who have won Super Bowls or been to Super Bowls over the last, I don't remember, 10, 15 mm-hmm. years. I think it was you and I. Maybe yeah. I did it with Jody. It was you and I did it?
I think it was,
okay.
Yes.
And how many of those quarterbacks were on their first contracts,
mm-hmm.
right, and making rookie figures? And that's how you do it,
yeah.
because you can build a team around them. You look at the teams that have veteran quarterbacks. You look at how Green Bay has had to scale back, how Tampa Bay has had to let guys go, because you're paying your quarterback, and you're paying your quarterback a fortune, and they will be paying Jalen Hurts next year, 35, 40,
yeah.
whatever. I mean, maybe the year after, but soon enough.
Yeah, and
he's going to make that, and you're not going to be able to bring in the Bradberries and the Kaiser Whites and these guys that are really filling holes for you this year and doing it so well. And you're going to have to make tough decisions. Boy, can we keep A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith?
Right.
I don't know. That's a lot of money to devote to that position.
And how many guys are out there really who are good enough to take whatever a team has and keep them at the level that the team was when that guy was on his rookie contract? How many Patrick Mahomes are there? How many Josh Allens are there? How many Rodgers and Brady's in their prime are there? These teams will sign these quarterbacks, these contracts, and then they can't build a better supporting cast around him, and you're kind of stuck. But what do you do? Do you let the quarterback walk away?
No,
without paying him?
No, because one of the things that is very apparent is it's extremely difficult to win in the NFL without a top-tier quarterback.
Mm. Consistently, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the Niners get there this year on
right.
their defense, although maybe that kid is really all that, too.
The other factor, too, is that, and this is the part that doesn't get talked about on shows like this, because it's so game-centric and football-centric, is that these franchises look at quarterbacks as the faces of their franchises.
Mm-hmm.
These owners want Tom Brady because he's good-looking and
yeah.
he has a great story, and he was married to the supermodel, and they want these guys to be celebrities because it helps them make money.
Yeah, and by the way, Jalen Hurts doesn't have that public personality.
Right.
Well, Jalen Hurts fits that bill.
Absolutely he does.
I mean, he is an admirable, good-looking, smart, well-spoken leader. He's a superhero, man.
Yeah.
And he fits the bill.
Yeah, and to tie this all together, one of the reasons that I think Hurts needs to come back, and one of the reasons that he will help the Eagles so much when he does come back tomorrow, I think, is that he brings a measure of gravity and seriousness to the team.
Yeah.
That I think they've kind of been lacking
yeah,
the last couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, I do too. That's the leadership element.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Should he carry the ball 17 times a game? Probably not. I don't think he's going to do it tomorrow. Is it going to be the plan moving forward? You bet it is. Is it going to jeopardize his health? Unfortunately, yes. You got to win now. And winning now involves Jalen Hurts doing Jalen Hurts magic.
I would have Jalen Hurts carry the ball in the first play from scrimmage tomorrow. Just to plant the seed in the Giants' heads and everybody else around the league. I would have him carry the ball in the first play.
Interesting. 215-592-9494. We love your thoughts on that. Coming up, we're going to talk about what really was, amazingly, the big story in the country this week. Well, other than Kevin McCarthy, I guess. But
we're not going to politics.
No. God. No. No, we are not. But the story that everybody, whether you're a sports fan or not, followed, which is that of DeMar Hamlin. Fortunately, things are looking better. And an aspect of it where people are just getting this wrong. People are looking at it from the wrong perspective. Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack now, Saturday morning on 94 WIP.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.